We are about to enter a new year. And I thought that I would pass on a few thoughts as we enter this new year. There are two texts that we want to look at, and from there we will build our subject. Book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3. Verse 4. The last part of verse 4. Joshua 3, the last part of verse 4. You have not passed this way before. Is that true? As we enter the new year, we haven't passed this way before. The second thought, the second verse, Proverbs chapter 27. We have not passed this way before. Chapter 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And you say to yourself, what a drab message to bring on the New Year's. You haven't passed this way before, and you don't know what's going to happen. But we are the Lord's people, so we shouldn't have to worry. Now, there are certain things that we can be sure are going to happen in the new year. Let's look at some of them. John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. Certain guarantees for the Lord's people in the new year. The year that we have not passed so far, and the year that we don't know what each day is going to bring forth. John chapter 15. Verse 18. The Lord is speaking. If the world hates you. Oh my. Isn't that a pleasant thought to enter the new year with? If the world hates you, and it does, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know, I was amazed just last week here. I received a piece in the mail from a man who was well informed. And he said, concentration camps are being built for the Christians. I figured, well, that's fine. That probably happened in Russia someplace, or Korea. He pointed out that in these United States, concentration camps are being built for the Christians. Does the world hate us? Isn't that quite a thought to enter the New Yorker, the New Year with? That you might end up in a concentration camp? Chapter 16. Verse 33, the second part of the verse, in the world you shall have tribulations. So as we enter into the new year, we can be sure that we're going to have tribulation. You say, so far this isn't a very cheerful message. No, it isn't. But it's going to end up all right. Don't get upset. Acts chapter 14, please. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. The latter part of verse 22. We must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. What a thought to enter the new year with. Much tribulation. Second Timothy chapter 3. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. We have not passed this way before. But there are certain things that we can be sure of. Second Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12. All that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution.
My, my, my.
What thoughts to enter the new year with? And you say to yourself, brother, couldn't you find something else? We want to feel good entering the new year. And you're bringing all these sad scriptures. First Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. Another said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Maybe we better not enter the new year. Might be a little easier. But to enter with all trials, problems, tribulations, testings, and we haven't passed this way before. That's the end of the sad part. Enough of that, huh? Now let's go to the good part. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. We have a great high priest. That's a good one. Now what does the high priest do? What is the priestly function? The priest works from man to God.
And we have a great high priest. A great advocate. A great person working on our behalf that is passed into the heavens.
Bible, read that very fast. You know the better translation, he's passed through the heaven. That's the better translation. In other words, he's gone through space. Isn't that nice? All these fellow scientists getting this space and find out about, I'm going through space with my law. Our high priest has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession.
Oh, now verse 15.
We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are. There isn't a thing that we go through that our high priest has not gone through. Years ago, in New York City, there was a mother. Physician. She gave birth to a child. The child was a toddler. And in toddling along, he fell and seriously cut his lip. His mother was a physician. She sent for her father, who was chief of surgery. And he came and he looked. And everybody got upset. You know, that's why doctors are not supposed to take care of their own people. Because they cannot have what we call a disinterested concern, whatever that means. You get all tied up there, and you're just as helpless as if you never went to medical school. And so grandfather came, great surgeon, head of surgery at one of the big hospitals, and he was upset. And finally, sister, the husband came. He was a lawyer. He said, what's wrong with you all? Take the child to the hospital. They should have done that in the first place. They took the child to the hospital, and they called to take care of the child a man under whom I was training. And he had me come with him. And he saw the family there all confused. And he said, give me the child, I'm going to operate. He took the child to the operating room, operated after about 2 hours, brought the child back. And I said to him, you did that great best. You did that remarkable the way you handled the situation. He said, you know why? When my son was the age of that child, my son also fell and cut his lip. And I was upset. My wife was upset. The family was upset. We called the doctor and he took the child and said, you all stay here, I'm going to take care of it. He was able to do what he did because of previous experience. Our high priest experienced all that we went through. And so he is able to sympathize and understand with every problem that we have. But then there is another thing I like about this high priest. I didn't read it. Read verse 15. Yet without sin. Sin apart. Our high priest makes no mistakes. Sin apart. A young man had come to a ravine. And he came to this deep ravine. It was a matter of how could he get across. Now I've had a little experience with ravines. I think our brother Gil here knows this place in Denver, Colorado, called the Royal Gorge. It's a deep ravine. And my friend Lloyd and I took the elevator down to the bottom of the ravine, about a quarter of a mile into the earth, and we looked up, rocks on either side, and Lloyd said to me, are you thinking what I'm thinking? I said, I think I am. How am I going to get out of here? And I prayed the Lord that the electric power wouldn't hit me. Until I got it. Deep ravine. And here was this young man in a deep ravine. And there were two guides there. One guide said to him, if you follow me, I'll get you across. Now, I have crossed this ravine several times. A few times I fell down, but I got up again. So if you follow me and you happen to fall into the ravine, I'll get you up. The other guy said, I've crossed this ravine several times, but I've never fallen in. And if you follow me, you'll never fall in. Now, whom would you follow? Whom would you follow? Do you know that my Lord has never had a problem? Let me read you something about the Lord. He never admitted to any sin before he was perfect. He never said that he was a sinner. Oh, I like this one. He never told anybody that he was sorry. That's quite a leader, isn't it? He never apologized for anything that he did. This is remarkable. And he never consulted with anybody. He never asked anybody to help him out. He never asked anyone for advice. And when it was offered, he refused. Would you like him for a leader? He never corrected any of his teachings. Why, the boys are always correcting. At least in medical books, there's always a new edition. A new edition. Always correcting a new edition. He never corrected anything that he said. And he never erased anything that he said. I remember when I was in school, I liked to buy a pencil with an eraser. Because I was going to make a mistake. But our Lord never erased anything that He said. And He always stood by what He said the first time. Note this. He never asked anybody to pray for Him. But He prayed for them. He specifically told people not to pray for Him. You find that in the Gospel of Luke. And He never sought the help or assistance of any human being. Would you trust yourself to Him? We have not passed this way before, but He is our high priest and He is our captain and He is our leader. You better now?
I should say.
What a high priest He was. Impeccable, incomparable, incorruptible, and inscrutable. Put down those eyes. They describe our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we said on Wednesday, He was such a man as I am, but He wasn't a man like me. He was a human being. Therefore, He could take our problems and present them to the Father. Now some words of comfort as we follow our leader. Genesis chapter 18, please. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 14. God asks Himself a question. Genesis 18 and 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? How about it, beloved? We're going to have problems. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have testings. But He is our high priest. He is our leader. Is anything too hard for Him? Isn't that comforting? Even though we haven't passed this way before, even though we don't know what a day will bring forth, there's nothing too hard for my Lord. That's why I love Him so much. Nothing too hard. You know, we are told in the Word of God to pray for the powers that be. We need to pray for them because they don't know what they're doing. I listen to the news, and I admit it, I listen to the news every day. I like Channel 26. They're the brilliant teens. The boys, the answer men. They know all the answers. And all of them disagree. Oh, but I like my Lord. Nothing is too hard for Him. We need to follow Him. Jeremiah chapter 32, please. Jeremiah chapter 32. Verse 17. The last part of the verse. The question was asked in Genesis, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now we get the answer. Jeremiah 32, the last part of verse 17. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. I'm sure glad I'm on His side. Sure glad I'm on His side. Nothing in all creation is too hard for my Lord. All I have to do is follow Him, even though I haven't gone this way before. Even though I haven't gone through this day before, once I follow Him, I'm all right. It's like following the man that never went down into the gorge. One went down and came up. I might not come up if I follow Him. But when I follow my Lord, I never get into the gorge. Jeremiah 32:17. Read verse 27. Verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And again he asks the question,
is anything too hard for the Lord. Oh, beloved, be comforted. We will have problems. We will have difficulties. There will be testings. By the way, we read in Hebrews that whom God loves, He chastens. Oftentimes, He permits the chastenings, but nothing's too hard for Him. And He never puts us into anything in which He cannot, from which He cannot deliver us. 1 Peter chapter 5, please. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? He cares. Sometimes I wonder how much people care for each other. Saddam Hussein, when he murders his own people by the millions, he doesn't care for them. But our Lord cares for us. Now read with me another verse in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 10 and 35. The Lord cares for us. Cast your care upon Him. Hebrews 10 and 35. Cast your care upon Him. Now, it reads, Hebrews 10 and 30. Cast not away your confidence. Never lose confidence in the Lord. We have a tendency to carry our care and lose our confidence. That's wrong. Cast your care upon Him. But don't cast away your confidence. The story is told of a man. He had a heavy load and he was walking along. And in the same direction came a man with a horse and wagon. And he said to this man, how far are you going? He said, oh, so and so. He said, well, come up in the wagon and I'll take you along. The man came up in the wagon, but he still had his weight on his shoulder. So the driver asked him, why don't you put the weight down? Oh, he said, you're so kind as to carry me. I don't want to burden the horse with the load. We do that. Oh, Lord, help me. And we go along carrying the load. Let Him have it. Cast all your care upon Him. He cares for you. That's my New Year's message. I'm finished. I'd like to read you a piece of poetry. He makes no mistakes. You know, I like to refer to the Lord as my man, especially when election time comes. Are you Republican, Democrat, this, that? Whom are you voting for? He's my man. Is he your man? He's the only one that can solve the problem. He's the only one that's going to solve it. And I'm so glad I'm on His side. And I'm just waiting for Him. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know He maketh no mistake. Isn't that nice? No mistake. Oh, I've had teachers who made mistakes. I've had teachers who had to be corrected by the pupils in the class. But my Savior makes no mistakes. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for He doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in Him. He maketh no mistake. What a Savior we have. Even though we don't know what tomorrow or today will bring forth. Even though we don't know the unknown future, we can trust Him. We can follow Him. He makes no mistakes. There's so much now I cannot see.
My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to me. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. Isn't that a lovely Savior to have? As we go forth into the next year, now the text doesn't seem so bad, does it? We have not gone this way before. So what? It doesn't seem as bad as it did the first time. We don't know what a day will bring forth. Seems better now that we know that we have a leader, a high priest, who will take us safely through. I would like us to sing one hymn, please. Let me see, what is the number? Oh, yes, 603. I think we all know it. Does Jesus care? Does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. I know my Savior cares. 603. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, thank you. You don't want to hear my voice.